This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Lauren Groper. She's the founder and CEO of Repurpose. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what does your company do, Repurpose?
So we're a mission-based company, and by that I mean we're really on a mission to be an alternative for plastic and styrofoam. So we make eco-friendly, plant-based, biodegradable, essentially, tableware, picnicware. You can buy it at Whole Foods, Amazon, Safeway, some Targets. So we're really trying to disrupt this industry in a sense. It's been the same for about 30 years, offering plastic and styrofoam, and we're trying to provide something different.
So what's the hardest part about getting into that space? Because there's a lot of people on that trend, whether it's, you know, we want to not do, you know, the GMO foods and this, and so we only do organic and, you know, no nitrates and all. So there's that on the food sector, and then there's the same thing happening with, you know, the ecosystem of like, well, let's get rid of the plastic and the paper and stuff like that and styrofoam. So how do you compete? What makes you stand out from all the other people?
Great question. Well, it's a super hard industry to tackle for sure, because as I said, it's been the same for so long. And so you're going against big players that have been there and do well. And so we've had to really be a challenger and provide a point of difference and really tell our story in the best way we can. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because on a shelf, on a retail shelf, you know, you whiz by and hopefully something about the product stands out. So we've really tried to tell the green, the eco story, and I think people are looking for that alternative. Mm-hmm. And for us, we're the solution. We're the change. We are something that if people are educated about the problems of plastic, they really can look to us, and we're the same price, basically.
So is your is your target audience people that say, look, I'll pay a little bit more if I know that it's, or the price isn't even an option, if it's going to be better for the environment, my kids, my family, myself? Because at the end of the day, it's not good having water bottles with plastic and drinking that. We all know that.
Yeah.
People are buying canteens and glass bottles instead, myself included. Should always avoid drinking out of plastic cups that have had sunlight going through and getting cancer. But with that being said, is it the people that specifically are interested in having that? Or are you guys trying to compete with the people who do drink plastic and are not searching for that, and you're trying to inform them of why they should change their behavior?
I think we're trying to do both, actually.
Okay.
So we definitely are catering to people that already have the education and already understand that, okay, this is the more environmental choice or the better for you choice.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do, I think, that's different is by offering something that's basically the same price. Some of our products are the same price or lower, in fact. Some of them are a little bit higher, sometimes 20% higher. But what we're trying to do is...
Which is crazy that people sometimes would be like, oh no, $1.18 more. But then again, some people are living on such a budget where that impacts them.
It's a very price sensitive category. Yeah. So... You know, when
that's why you're buying plastic in the first
place. Right, and it's disposable. So it's challenging because I think in the past, the eco-friendly disposables have not really performed as well as plastic. And what we're saying
meaning just in general.
Flimsier. They break easily.
Like I've eaten with like the potato spoons before. It's made out of a potato. I still don't know how they do that. But.
Right. All of our products are made from plants. And what we're doing is really creating high-performing products, but they're disposable at the same time. So what we know we have to compete on price. And what we're trying to do is educate everybody to say, hey, you know what, you don't have to shop at Whole Foods to get this, and it's not a niche product, you can actually get it everywhere. And that's the goal for us, to be available to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I want to shift gears and kind of take it off of the emphasis of the business,
put
it more on you.
Okay.
What were you doing before Repurpose for this company?
So my whole career has really been in sustainability, and really I've been a passionate environmentalist for my whole life. And so, and I always wanted to work in that space. So it's been kind of a long, winding journey. But right out of college, I actually worked for the United Nations Environment Program.
Very cool.
Some policy stuff. I did kind of a Canadian version. I'm Canadian. Canadian sort of Peace Corps version in Costa Rica, and did ecotourism research there. So there was always like an eco component. And then
I don't mean to cut you off, but
do you
think that people in Canada or the U.S. are more inclined for like ecosystem, environmental friendly products?
You know, I have to say probably Canadian.
I don't know. I'm not biased. So I was just curious from your perspective.
It's interesting. I mean, we get data now that shows we don't sell in Canada yet, actually.
Okay.
But
is there a reason?
Just not yet. We're really focused on the U.S. market and want to kind of build that out before we go to Canada. But the market definitely is in Canada. It's just also that it's so geographically spread out in terms of shipping. It's a little more difficult, but the Canadian, I think, mindset is I think you grow up around a lot more nature and
Makes sense.
It's interesting. But the data that we get here has surprised us. So in areas, for example, there's areas in Texas that we sell so well where you wouldn't necessarily think. Cities for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So you said you didn't always know that you wanted to get an entrepreneurship. You just kind of knew you always wanted to be in the environmental space.
The big piece here was that that I forgot to mention previously was that I worked most of my career in sustainable architecture. I studied urban design and architecture, and specifically green or sustainable architecture, and I built many green buildings for different architects and developers and worked with construction groups as well. And we built condos, hotels, airports, office buildings, super green. But then once they were operating, you know, there was a ton of waste coming in and out of them. So some of the clients that we had at the time were interested in reducing their environmental footprint on the whole. And so we really had to look at plastic and styrofoam and what the impact was and how much waste they were producing. And that's when I really learned about, you know, the problems with plastic. And it just, coming from a design background, it really, you know, it upset me that something that we use for 5 minutes lasts for 500 years.
That's crazy.
Doesn't really make sense to me. And so it was sort of a design challenge as well.
Founder and CEO of Repurpose, Lauren Groper, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Three things that you think as an entrepreneur yourself who's been in the game for a while, the person who wants to get into business or has been in it maybe for 1 or 2 or 3 years, what do you feel like you can share with them are a couple of the things they need to prepare for on their journey ahead?
Wow. I think number one, surround themselves with good people because
that's huge.
Yeah. Team is everything. And I think I've got two partners and an incredible team, and without them, obviously, we would never be where we are.
Yeah.
And I think you have to rely on them in good times and bad. And so that's definitely something huge.
Have a great team.
Have a great team. Number one. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much everything.
Well, I'll feed you some right now because we talked about it before we started. You asked a great question before the cameras went on, which was, you know, what's the common thread amongst the CEOs and successful people you interview? And I said two things. I said the two, there's a lot, but the two things that are pretty much across the board for everybody is they all have a different view and meaning and neural association of what failure means to them. Meaning, most people, if I said, I go to school for 18, 20 something years of my life, and in the school system, if in school to my teacher or to my friends or to my parents, if I said, oh, I just, you know, did my test or my, you know, my final or my presentation and I failed, is that good or bad? They would never say good. Because school, failing in school, that's not good. No. The whole point is to get A's and B's and pass and get a good college, get a good job. So we're conditioned for decades that failure is bad. But yet the successful people I interview getting into the thousands is they all think failure is what makes them successful.
Wow.
So at some point there's a new shift from thinking failure is bad to failure is good. I'm going to fail as fast as I can, test as many things as I can, take risks, but mitigate the risk to myself and my business and my employees and my family.
Right.
But failure is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second one is, and I want to ask you how you think of failure.
Sure.
The second one is they all have a sense of urgency and hunger.
Mm-hmm.
They all have this feeling that even if I fail, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep going because I'm hungry. I have a sense of urgency. The income, the impact, the growth of my business and how I can give back to the world and how we can serve people needs to happen.
Yeah.
I have a massive purpose to serve and I'm hungry and I have a sense of urgency. It needs to happen now.
Yes.
And so failure is not going to get in my way. So those two things come together and they usually make somebody really successful in anything they do. Tell me what keeps you hungry and inspired, keeps you driven, and then also, how do you look at failure?
What keeps me hungry, I think, is just the purpose. You know, our company is Repurpose, and
having a
purpose. I mean, our business is about making an impact, and I always sort of say, we want to do well by doing good. So we want to use business as a tool for change, and I feel like we're doing that. And and we're now just trying to get numbers and impact about, you know, when we sell one of our products versus, you know, the traditional plastic and styrofoam, how are we changing the world? What are we doing that's actually taking things out of landfills or, you know, just actually not putting all of this garbage into the world? What
so
are we
you've
doing?
Got your purpose.
We have our purpose.
You've got your purpose.
Yeah.
As we wrap up this segment before we transition into the next one.
Sure.
How do you reframe or give meaning to failure? Like, is failure something that when you do it, you're like, it's a good thing.
We
I don't
have
fail.
Failed.
I just get results. I just learn from it and grow.
Right. I think I'm I'm not very risk averse, so I'm very okay with risk, which inevitably may lead to failure. So I'm not scared of failure, and I think that's, I don't have fear around failure, and our business actually has had several failures, which we've learned from. And so I think, just having that attitude of not being afraid to fail is everything.
And that was what I loved is I flipped back on you after you asked. I was like, so do you think the same thing about what everyone in the studio, you know, that comes to the studio thinks? And it's like, I have a different viewpoint on what failure means, and I have a purpose to serve, that I have a sense of urgency, it needs to happen, and I'm hungry to do whatever it's going to take. So we'll be right back with Lauren Groper to talk more about her company, Repurpose. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do, and you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Lauren Groper. She's the CEO and founder of Repurpose, and we're looking at some of your products right here. These are 100% made from plants, renewable, BPA-free, compostable. These are what, coffee cups?
Those are coffee cups. So
coffee cups and lids.
What's cool is they are insulated, and you never need to use a sleeve. So you're actually saving on double cupping. And what a typical coffee cup uses is polyethylene on the inside of the lining. We use a corn-based lining, so it's totally non-toxic and 100% compostable.
Very cool. So we got the plates, we got forks, spoons, knives.
Yes.
We had some other stuff out here as well, but we didn't want to crowd the table with all your
guys' products.
What was the hardest part for the design and the packaging? I know that that's very difficult because at the end of the day, I'm walking down the aisle. The only thing that's going to stand out to me to get me to buy your product, unless you guys are spending tons of money on marketing and advertising, I've never seen this in my life. I walk by and I look, this better sell me. So what was that experience like? Because I've been through it before and I know it's not easy and it's not always fun.
It's not. I actually find it really fun. That's one of the parts I enjoy the most.
If you like being creative.
I love it, but I feel we're actually thinking about doing a brand refresh right now. So we think, when we came out 6 years ago, this was pretty fresh and innovative, but the industry's caught up. And right now we're sort of saying, well, it's time to look at this again and refresh.
How can you be different?
How can we be different?
I mean, I get it right off the bat, right? The green elicits the, you know, the green aspect of the cups, the leaf. It's all the standard stuff that you'd expect. So now it's how do we make ourselves different?
How do we take
from all the other
things? How do we take it to the next level? Yeah.
And what are you guys thinking about doing for that?
I don't know. We're just starting. So we're just about to go through the process. We're actually launching a bunch of new items as well. Paper towel, toilet paper, napkins.
So you guys are trying to compete against Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble.
Yes.
Just the trillion-dollar companies.
Just those little guys.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
And
when you're going up against big companies like that, what goes through your mind?
I hope they don't squash us. No, we, I think because we feel that there's an opening in the space and that really we come from an authentic place, we're an authentic brand, and we can be that alternative to customers that really want something different and want to connect with a real story, you know, real people that are trying to do something better for the environment. That's what we're all about. And I think we've been able to do that in this category. So I think sort of moving a little bit you know, sideways and doing different things, while sort of still in the same aisle in grocery and retail is exciting for us.
You bootstrapped this whole thing? So did you guys
We did not. We've taken...
You raised some money?
Yeah, we've raised money. We raised about $4.5 million over 6 years.
Okay.
And we've been very lucky to have incredible investors. We bootstrapped the first, I'd say, year. And
then realized you needed some money?
Yeah. And we actually were doing... we were focused on the sort of wholesale commercial side of things, on food service, before we really went retail brand. So we
and that's been more successful.
The retail brand has definitely been, our focus and much more successful. For us, we, you know, we entered this food service space and sort of thought that we could bring all these cool new products, but really in that space, it's about who's got the cheapest kind of alternative. And we were making, you know, we were spending a lot of money on making the best products. So the fit for us is really retail at somebody's home where they actually, you know, there's a little more care put into the products.
When you get $4.5 million entrusted into you, it's got to be exciting, but maybe even a little bit scary because, you know, you got to pay it back, you're supposed to. How do you decide where you're going to allocate $4.5 million? Is it to product development? Is it to R&D? Is it for building a team? Is it all three? How did you guys decide?
Well, we didn't get it all at once. So we did it in several stages.
Tranches.
And several tranches over 6 years. And we've kind of used just as little as we can to kind of get by. Mostly it was for product, inventory, sales and marketing. It costs a lot of money to actually be in the selling to retail business because not only do you have to, you know, buy product and warehouse it, but you also have to... There's fees involved with selling into retail. So what they call slotting fees, or you're having to give free product away and you have to do a lot of promotion. And so there's a trade spend there that is somewhat significant. You know, you need, you just need a lot of feet on the street selling your product. It's expensive. So we've used those funds as we've grown. We've allocated the funds to different uses, but yeah, it's primarily inventory, sales and marketing. And we're a lean team. We're about 8 people right now.
Very cool. And those are, that's, I think that's ultimately where the money should always go, is reinvesting into some form of sales and marketing, because that's the fastest way you're going to get the cash back.
Exactly.
Founder and CEO of Repurpose, Lauren Groper, is joining us right now. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know a habit or a ritual that you have, either that you implement in your organization or... you know, that you've practiced in your personal life or in your business that's helped you guys be more successful. And I asked that because earlier we were talking about, you know, what makes the people that come through these doors successful? What's the common thread? And we talked about, you know, a sense of urgency and hunger and finding a purpose. And then also reframing what failure means. Another thing is habits and rituals. Now, not everyone that is successful can pinpoint their habits and rituals, but they all have them. Some people just aren't consciously aware of them. They're like, I just take action, make things happen. And it's like, okay, all right. But some people are very aware. So I'm curious, from your perspective, are you aware of maybe one or two habits, personally, professionally, that you could share with us that have either improved the quality of your health, life, relationships, happiness, or financial situation?
That's a tough question. I don't think I'm conscious of those habits. Like, I can't say that I meditate every day or, you know, I'm a big yoga enthusiast. But I do try, I think for me, I do try to... I try to eat well and exercise regularly. I mean, I try to lead a healthy lifestyle. Yeah.
Those things sound silly.
It sounds
people,
really silly.
Especially but, people that are healthy. But at the end of the day, obesity, being unhealthy is an epidemic.
Right.
And fast food companies keep growing. Some people some go out of business, but it's just because they're trying to compete against the ones that keep growing. So, you know, it sounds funny, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of people out there that should be practicing those habits and rituals, because I believe, and science validates a lot of this, that how you feel based on your energy levels, how you look, is a reflection of your confidence, and the true biochemistry of what you put in your body changes, meaning your emotions change, cortisol, serotonin, chemicals are literally released based on how you feel and what you're eating, and that impacts how you're going to perform. So, you know, it sounds maybe like kind of cliche, like, well, I try to live a healthy lifestyle, work out and eat right. But at the end of the day,
I mean,
that makes the difference between how you feel and how you perform, which is going to be a reflection of your results, whether that's in business or in life. So I do like that you brought that up. If somebody says, you know, I want to check out your guys' website, I'll let you say it. And they want to find
too long.
If they want to find more about you guys, what's your website or social media, or what stores can they check this out in?
Okay, well, let's start on Facebook. It's at Repurpose.
Okay.
Twitter at Repurpose. Instagram at Repurpose.
Yeah.
Our website is repurposecompostables.com. I don't think
just
I
the way it's spelled.
Just the way it's
repurpose
spelled.
Compostables.
We are going to modify our website to make it easier. And we're on Amazon, and we have a nice sale on Amazon right now. So please visit us on amazon.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Mark. Thank you.
I love
you.
What you guys are up to.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
A hard time trying to instill good dental hygiene habits on your little ones? Corrine Wilson, manager and patient therapist at Contemporary General Dentistry in Connecticut.
It's all about making it fun and making the toothpaste taste good. And I'm so excited. Crest has just come out with a new cavity protection toothpaste and bubble gum and strawberry toothpaste flavors, and it makes it a fun experience for the kids. And for the parents, it makes it great because you know you're giving your kids the best protection with a mild gel, cavity protection gel, that's going to help to protect their teeth. So everybody's happy.
Other tips? Create routines. Make sure your kids brush for 2 minutes twice a day, morning and before bedtime.
It's very important to have good dental hygiene because those habits that you start earlier in life, they follow you into adulthood. So you're going to want to make it a lifelong commitment to taking care of your teeth.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is the man, Tilman Fertitta. He's the chairman and CEO of Landry's and many other companies. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, great to be here.
So tell us about your business. What do? You own many, many businesses, but I'll let you tell us all about them.
It's great to be in business, and it really is. Lots of concepts. Do over 150 million customers a year, and it's brands from probably, we touch everybody because we hit all the price points.
Many I've been to.
but anything from Mastro's to Bubba Gump, and then in between is a Martin's and a McCormick and a Rainforest and a Saltgrass and a Chart House and
everything.
And they're all company owned. They're all owned by my company. There's no franchisees. There's no licensees except international. And then the five Golden Nugget casinos also. And then lots of brands from the aquarium to amusement parks. And it's a fun business. Lots of employees. Business is good. And it's fun.
So I'll say the numbers for you because they were on the sheet. $3.4 billion in sales, $3.5 billion worth of assets, and over 60,000 employees. How the heck do you make all of that happen when some people have been in business as long as you and they're still doing the same thing they always did? And they're still getting the same results. There's something that you're doing that's different. You've got a TV show where you actually help people do this. How do you get to that level? What does it take?
It just kind of happened over a period of time, believe it or not. You know, it was great to go public back in 1993. I had 12 restaurants. And God, I was sitting on top of the world. You're sitting there with 12 restaurants. You're making $3 million a year. And gosh, life is good. And then all of a sudden going public with a restaurant company was real popular at the time. So I was public for 18 years. Was you wake up, you know, in August of 93 and you own 12 restaurants. And all of a sudden you look at your stock and you're worth $100 million. So that's the catalyst. And then, you know, I was able to grow it to a $1 billion company as a public company, almost $2 billion. And then when you had the recession in 08 and 09 and all the stocks fell, I took the opportunity to buy it all back myself. Private equity wanted to do it with me, and I maneuvered, financially engineered it where I could take my whole company back private. And that's when I was really able to grow because coming out of a recession, a lot of stocks were down, Martin's, McCormick & Schmick, Bubba Gump, that I was able to do a lot of acquisitions. So
that's what I love, and I want to point out right there. people like yourself have the mindset that in a down economy and in a recession, that's where there's more opportunity than ever before. And you capitalized on that.
100%. I mean, I'm a cyclical player. Okay. You always want to have your cash ready and wait for the recession because that's when you're able to buy. Everybody looks smart when you have a booming market. Okay. Yeah. Regardless if you're public or private. When you can be smart is when it's a down market and say, hey, I can pick this off or I can pick this off. And and that's what me and my team have been really good at, if you want to know the truth. We've had lots of concepts that had organic growth. But if you really look at the value of the company was probably created by being a cyclical player and buying companies when they were down. And but we also had the ability to take those companies and fix them up. You know, you go into a Martin Steakhouse today. It's a different menu. It's a different look. You look at a Chart House, great locations, but reconcepted the logo to the look, to the menu, everything. Keep it fresh and change, change, change.
I love that. Change is inevitable, and you learn how to capitalize on that. I've come up with something that I like to do on the show where if you imagine sitting at a table with, and you maybe even have, an Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Tony Robbins, somebody like yourself, which is why this is perfect. And you could take all of their biggest lessons and aha moments from their successes and their failures. I think those lessons would be pretty valuable. So from your perspective, what has been one or two of the biggest aha moments or lessons in a time of failure or success on your journey so far?
Being an opportunist, okay, don't assume anything. Be a cyclical player. And if you take those and the biggest mistake that people make is that when things are really good, they think that they're never going to be bad again. When things are really bad, they think they're never going to be really good again. So always know when things are good, the bad's coming. And when things are bad, always know the good is coming.
It's an interesting mindset. I love that, though, because it helps for so many of the beginning entrepreneurs out there that don't think like that. I think it's great advice. So let's talk about that. Three things. Or more if you want, three things that you feel like the beginning entrepreneur in year one, two, and three that they haven't yet learned because they haven't been in the game as long as you, what are the things they need to know and be prepared for in the future?
Well, one of the things I do with all and doing this television show really gives me the opportunity to mentor people besides buy product, buy their product that gives them an opportunity to really get their company going. You got to know your numbers. And a lot of people go into partners with somebody, whether it's their best friend or whoever. Yeah. But if you know numbers well and you're a financial person, then you better get a partner who knows how to sell and market or knows how to operate whatever you're doing. But a lot of times people go into business together and they both have the same talent.
Because you hire people like you.
But you really, for a business to get going, you've got to have, number one, a great product. Yeah. You got to understand the financial side, okay? And then you've got to be able to operate that business, and then you need to have to sell and market that business. And if you don't do all four of those things in the beginning, you're not going to be successful.
Very true. I want to know, and I'm so curious from somebody like yourself, did you have great mentors growing up? Or did you have to figure it out all on your own?
You know, I really, people have always asked me, who are your mentors? And I really did not have mentors in the beginning. Now, as you get older and smarter, do we all steal little ideas from everybody? Absolutely. And I don't care what business you're in. Yeah. But as you grow, you're definitely smarter. And I will tell you this. I have lots of young guys work for me, and I love the millennials, and I love the way they're creative. But there is nothing like history, okay? And it's no different as you go get somebody to come in and run my company today with 500 locations and 60,000. I don't care who you are. There's nothing like the history, because I know the history of all 500 of those locations.
Yeah.
Somebody else doesn't. So there's nothing like history, but if you don't change, you will get run over.
Yeah.
And I'd say, how did your company continue to grow and last as long as it has and been successful? Because I preach change, change, change.
I love that. Change, change, change. That's the key from Tillman. Chairman and CEO of Landry's, Tillman Fertitta, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Habits and rituals is something I've noticed that successful people in anything, sports, business, life, relationships, health, they all have habits and rituals that are the reason and the reflection of the results they get. Habits and rituals that you either try to teach your employees or habits and rituals in your own life that have improved your quality of your life and your business success. What are some of them?
Well, one of the things is you never tell a customer no. Okay, and that's something I preach. And if I'm talking to a group of 1,000 people, I'll say, walk into one of my restaurants at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night and ask for scrambled eggs. Okay. And
it's not even on the menu.
And it's not on the menu, but we're going to do it for you. People hate being told no. Yeah. And today, more than ever, it's kind of like, well, this is the way I do it, and you either like it or go somewhere else.
Yeah, we've always done it this way.
Okay, but I hate that, okay? You want to lose me? Tell me that. But I love to preach. Once again, you don't assume anything. You never tell a customer no. Now, I might not be able to give you a yes, but I'm going to find a way to maneuver where I don't have to say no, okay? Yeah. And it's all about customer service. It's all about great product, and it's taking care of your customer.
Fantastic advice. How does a normal day look like for somebody like you? You know, for me, a big shift in my perspective was I should only focus on the highest income and impact activities and find some way to, you know, outsource and delegate the low income, low impact, trivial activities. You have 60,000 employees, so you're the master of this. How do you decide where to allocate your time and energy?
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I'll be... Some people can multitask and some can't. And it's not something you develop. You were just born with it. But the other day, my general counsel was in my office and we were going over something. And he said, do you realize you just handled 6 totally different divisions of the company in about a 2-minute period? You were picking up the phone, yelling out to this person, bringing this person in while they were just sitting there. And you try to put your arms around everything, but you have to delegate. Okay. You can't be running a company like this and not delegate. But at the same time, you do get involved in the most minuscule details. I mean, I did a tasting yesterday for a new restaurant and went through every dish with them and gave them my input. I'll still look at menu changes. I'll look and see what we're paying in a position for this person. It's just, you just touch whatever you feel like you need to touch at that time. And your people learn that this is how far I can go in my area. And if not, maybe I need to go check with him. So I operate with 7 COOs and they all answer up to me.
Interesting.
So that's the way I operate.
I love that. Well, last question as we wrap up, I'm super curious to see your perspective on this is if you have so many different businesses. So if you had to start over with nothing except for the knowledge that you have, no connections, no money, you had to start over with nothing but the knowledge you have, what business space would you get into right now? What industry? You're like, I own 87 different businesses already.
I do. And I truly don't know. Okay. I don't know because I know that I could probably even do some other things better than what I'm doing, but I love my empire that I have.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, the one true statement that is said out there, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that have gotten lucky because they happen to go to work for a company at the right time and they really weren't the brain behind it, but made a bunch of money. But if you take your true 500 entrepreneurs out there who truly built it with their own hands and building their company, and it was a business that wasn't losing $10 million a year, but yet their stock was worth $1 billion. Okay. Yeah. If you take those 500 people, they'll have all the money again. Hmm. Okay. You either have it or you don't. You're born with it. Okay.
I've heard
and
that
people
before.
People say, well, what about if I go get my MBA? And my deal is, you know what? You know if you need your MBA. Mm-hmm. All right. If you don't have that God given gift, go get your MBA.
Go get it.
Okay. Because then you really do learn a lot in getting your MBA. But a lot of people doesn't mean anything.
Wise words from a true business rock star. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Why would you do it yourself when you can call a pro? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. How many times have you done this to yourself? Thought you could make it happen and realize later when it's too late, you made it even worse because you didn't call a pro. We do this in business as well. Legal work, bookkeeping, even website development. Instead of trying to fix things yourself and save a few dollars, call in a pro. All too often, entrepreneurs only look at the bottom line of what something costs. Stop doing this. Remember, a professional might be expensive, an amateur could cost you a fortune. Would you take your sick child to an amateur doctor? No. Would you have your house built by an amateur contractor? No. Don't settle for subpar. Always get a professional. It will pay off in the long run. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics Master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Cam Kashani. She's the godmother of Silicon Beach and the co-founder of CoXL. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, godmother of Silicon Beach, how'd you get that name? And then tell us about your company.
Godmother of Silicon Beach is a name they gave me, and I gracefully decided to take it. I previously started the first co-working space in Los Angeles back in early 2010, when there was no LA tech scene, there was no Silicon Beach, nothing was happening here. It was literally like one event every 2 months with the same 90 people. So we started the first co-working space, and it basically was the, it was like ground zero for the LA tech ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We had over 1,400 entrepreneurs or alumni come through. We had Instacart and like Uber LA, Full Screen, all these really big guys came out of there.
Nice.
And it helped really push the community forward.
So you created that.
I did.
That's where it came from.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And your company, CoXL, what do you guys do?
CoXL, the first human accelerator.
The first human accelerator. So what do you guys do? What do you?
The first and only.
That's like a mantra, but what do you guys actually do?
It's a 3-month program, one-on-one, where we accelerate you through your work. What we do is we build leaders.
Hmm. And you do that how?
That's the secret. No, we create a customized plan for each person that comes through the program. And it depends on where they are, where they can be, what they can do. And in those 3 months, we tackle them, get them from point A to point B.
Very cool. How did you get into this whole space? Like, what compelled
you
to want to start this business? Yeah. What compelled you to want to get into this business?
Oh, that's a great question. Spawned from my personal story.
Okay, well, share it for us.
All right. I'm going to get down and dirty
back
now.
To the beginning.
Take you back to the beginning. I honestly never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. And this is my third company I'm on now. I was
good
someone that was,
What do you think you were going to do?
I don't even know. I knew I would be successful because my parents are doctors. Like, my whole family is doctors. Yeah. Like, everybody.
So is that what you thought you were going to do, is become a doctor?
Actually, yeah. I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. Until I was like 12. And then I'm like, I don't want to be a doctor. That's
you wanted to be a plastic surgeon as a child growing up.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it had art. There was creation involved, right?
Human acceleration.
Well, human acceleration we'll get into.
Okay.
But yeah, growing up, I never knew. I had a negative dialogue. I didn't believe in myself. I was someone that was bullied all my life. And
Like a lot of kids.
Like a lot of kids, yeah. But being an entrepreneur now and being where I am now, I never thought I would be. And what happened was I my first company, which I started like 4 years after college. My first job I was at, it was great. It was awesome. It was like cushy, getting a good paycheck and all that. It was a medical company. And I helped them incorporate the human element, as I call it. There's a theme to this. There's human everywhere.
Everywhere.
I helped them incorporate the human element as the marketing director. And what that meant was I was at this medical company and nobody knew why they were there. They were sitting there just doing their job. It was a super negative environment, very catty, just not a kind of place that I would definitely thrive in, that's for sure. So I brought it to the CEO's attention that this is like this. I told him that no one knows why they're here. Mm. Like, they're in the business of saving people's lives.
Yeah.
And no one knows this. He ended up agreeing. He held a meeting with the 60 plus employees at that time, asked that question, do you guys know why you're here? No one could answer it. So I ended up incorporating that into their entire business model and whatnot. We increased profits 60% over 4 years that I was there. They ended up getting acquired 2 years after I left. But I left to start my own startup, which failed on its face. Epic failure.
Like many people's first businesses, not everyone's.
I mean, everyone has to have one or 12, but yeah. No, it was pretty hardcore. 2 years, 200 grand and 3 customers.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The one that did well?
The one that did bad. 3 customers isn't good.
200 grand depends on how much of that you get to keep.
Ah, sorry. 200 grand like invested. Valuable.
Invested.
Yes. At $200,000 of our own money to build it. 2 years of our time and energy. 3 customers in the end.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you, like many entrepreneurs and business owners, didn't always start out successful and you're maybe a 5 or 10 or 15 year overnight success. I love that you shared that because it's very important for your story.
Yeah, failure.
The godmother of Silicon Beach is joining us, Cam Kashani. She's the co-founder of CoXL. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What has been something on your journey that you feel like you had a big lesson or aha moment in? Was it one of your companies that failed? Was it a bad partnership? Was it?
No, it's all of the above. So Coloft, the business that I had previously started, I started with my ex-husband.
Okay.
All right. So there's a story here. We did that. It was great. It helped build the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
4 years into it, I filed for divorce and he fired me. So I was fired from my own company. Mm. I didn't know that that was going to happen.
And Steve Jobs knew it was possible.
Yeah, this is true. But his was a different story.
Different story.
Different circumstances. Yeah. So that was like the period of time in my life where I just went into, where do I go? What do? I feel completely naked and stripped in the universe. I'm overnight like a single mom without an income. And I'm no longer Coloff Cam. Like, what do?
Yeah.
And I went through a really, really dark time. And during this time, I had an amazing woman who is now my business partner. Her name's Jasmine Hannaby. She's a globally renowned intuitive coach. And she came along and she basically helped build me back up from like literally being in the fetal position in my bed to working with the State Department in an 8-month period, working with ambassadors, interacting with royalty, helping ward off extremism on a global scale. And I didn't know that I could do that again or ever, to be honest. So the biggest takeaway from it was, wow, our minds, the way we think is everything. Mm-hmm. How you think about yourself, how you view situations, anything you want to do is possible. And you as a human being are an infinite possibility. It's a matter of, are you going to do the work to get there? Mm-hmm. And that's the story behind human acceleration.
Right. I love that. Yeah. That's how it all came together. So if somebody says, well, I just want to follow you and learn more about you, where can they do that?
So you can go to my company's website, which is coaxcel.com. That's COACCEL. And at Cam S. Kashani is what I am everywhere on social media.
Social media everywhere. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate you for coming on the show. And
thank you for having
sharing
me.
Your wisdom with our audience.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.